Nothing But Net rolls on to our next guest, which is Vanessa Blair Lewis, the head coach at George Mason, having a heck of a year, 3-0 right now, and one of five teams in the A-10 in the top 65 in the net. Coach, what a year, what a league, what a start for you at 3-0 in the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess if you would ask me that, like, right after finals, we were in a tough way to go in non-conference. And, you know, I think everybody was trying to start to hit the panic button. I was like, no, we wanted this. Like, we wanted this non-conference, because last year we went into conference play like 11-1, and I didn't learn a thing about my team until we hit the tough teams. And it was like, oh, we don't do this well. We don't do that. So we scheduled everybody in the non-conference that went to the tournament last year, except for two teams. Like, I really wanted to learn about this team. And, you know, with the portal, we had eight new kids, six freshmen, two transfers. And I was like, you know, we need to know everything we need to know before conference starts. And I think that in these 2 months, we have learned enough that could take us through a year of just being put in certain situations that's going to me, prove beneficial down the stretch.
So what have you learned? What did you learn about your group?
Oh, that we like to foul three-point shooters. I don't know why we want to do that, but in the game situations, inbounding the ball, as you could see last night in the LSU and Vanderbilt game, like inbounding the ball on the sideline. I'm like, okay, we had that same kind of turnover thing, out of bounds. So just things like that that you don't know you need to have in your bag until you need it. And so I'm glad that we were able to work on a lot of these things. And even in our conference play, the things that happened to us in non-conference have already shown up. And I'm like, wow, like our girls knew, coach, we just did that. Like, coach, we got this one.
So there's, you know, scheduling is an art and part science, right? We don't always know what's in the efficiencies. We think we know, but we're trying to play the best competition we can. And if you can beat some teams based on the way the quad system is put in place, it gives you a legitimate chance, but it also gives you something to measure. When you play the kind of non-conference schedule that you have played, saying that you've played every team except for two that made the NCAA tournament, that's quite impressive. I'm not sure there's many coaches that can say that.
Yeah, or want to say it.
Yeah. So situations, right, always seem to rear up in conference play. Game shrinks, possessions are less, you got to be better and more efficient. In football, they go offense coordinator, defensive coordinator, and special teams coordinator. I often wonder how basketball, if you have some way of managing your staff in that way or not.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, as the head coach, you oversee all of it. But just with the staff that I've been together so long and trust so much, they have the board. And I think back in the day, I remember being coached, and the head coach did every timeout, every play, and I'm like, yeah. You know what? Why do I have this great assistant coaching staff if I'm not going to give them the freedom in these moments to coach, right? And so we have out of bounds coach that does sideline and advancing the ball plays. We have in-game coach who does offenses, what offenses are going to be good for this game. Because, you know, you have 30 offenses. You don't need to use them all. For this game, we're going to focus on these. And then I have a defensive coach, right? Like, and she's like, coach, this is what I see, right? So I just think when the game comes about, like, everybody has a part to play, and there's a lot more buy-in than just sitting on the bench with a board and you're keeping fouls and timeouts. You have people to do that. I want coaches to coach.
There, back in the day, that looked like and was perceived to be a sign of weakness. You know, head coach doesn't know what to draw up, you know, with this last player that we have. It's not the case. You see that happening more and more. Isn't it? I'm sure I know the answer to this, knowing you, Vanessa, but don't you feel like that's a way of empowering some of your younger staff so that when they're head coaches one day, they've already made some decisions that you had to make that you've already learned?
Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. And also, besides empowering them, I think they get an opportunity to see what it's like to have that board in their hand with this last second play possibly, and the pressure that comes with that, you know, and it's like, okay, so I think it makes them study their craft, that that I just can't come and draw something up haphazardly. Like, this is something that needs to be studied. We need to work on this in practice. And I think you're definitely right. Empowering them and not just sitting on the sidelines, watching us do everything. Obviously, we know what we'd like. We've talked about it. We've discussed it. But putting them in that position in game, I just think it makes it more of a staff as a team as well.
Okay, so we got, so these are net numbers as of the taping of our podcast. Okay, Richmond 49, Rhode Island 50, Davidson 52, St. Joe's 64, you're at 67. That's five teams that are right there in the mix. Is this a multiple bid league again in the A-10? And do you see the competitiveness of the league really starting to shape up?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's been a multiple bid league. It's been a multiple bid league. Like the last I got in, this is going on my fifth year. And I would say almost every year you could make a case that there should be more than one team. And obviously we got that last year with us in Richmond. But this year, definitely. And I don't think the A-10 is shying away from playing that competitive schedule. Like I could have played and went into conference 12-0, easy. But you know, that's just not what the conference wants to do. We want to show that, hey, we deserve to be in that conversation. You know, you have, for us, we have a on the road opening overtime game with Temple, a team that went to the tournament last year. We have an overtime game at home with Princeton, a team that has continually been in the tournament. Then we have a 1-point loss with Liberty, a team that's, you know, always been in the conversation. I will take those games over going into the conference 12-0 anytime. And I think the teams in our conference, you know, have heard the conversations from Bernadette, our commissioner. We want to be in those rooms. We've got to play a better non-conference schedule. And we've done that.
Well, you know, to me, it makes sense. There is a philosophy about scheduling and everyone has a different one. And it's in some ways tougher to measure forward with the portal and the changes and the roster, you know, but fundamentally what you teach and what you do inside your culture has got to be players that come in that fit what you want. You're not just going to take a kid that, I mean, I know you're not just going to take some kid just because you're going to take a kid that fits what you want to do. So has it changed the way you view scheduling moving forward?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For us, you know, we haven't had, I think, on the guys' side, that dynamic. Like our men's coach had 11 players going to portal, right? We've seen it where Jim Larrañaga at Miami goes to the Final Four and he walks in the next day and the whole team's in the portal. Yeah. I don't think that we've had that. I think for us at the mid-major level that I'm really still excited about here is that we get a chance to have relationships and we get a chance to have loyalty. And you look at Kennedy Harris and Zahira Walton, who, you know, could have gone for the bigger bag, you know, over this portal in the spring. And they chose to stay because they believe in what we're doing. And obviously you have to meet them where they are as far as the portal goes and that financial exchange. But it's not always all about money. And I think you hear that growing up a lot. That shouldn't always be the thing it's about. And I think for here, that's the beauty of being at Mason. It's not always about that.
Well, you brought it up and I'm going to be fully transparent here. I know that you could have gone somewhere else. You had options. You had opportunities. I know the places that I was dropping your name when the ADs called me. So what is it about George Mason? What is it about the relationships that you have? Everything you just said was about the players. Is that equally for you and your family?
Oh, absolutely. I'm from the DMV. So taking this job 4 years ago, people said, why would you go there, Vanessa? You're on your fifth championship here at Bethune-Cookman. And this is home for me. My dad had dementia. He was probably in the last stages of it. And it was a chance for me to come home and be around family. And I always saw George Mason as a sleeping giant. And not so much asleep because our guys, you know, did a thing in 2006, right? A Final Four thing. But you look at the talent in the DMV, like a lot of people come here to get players from that fill rosters everywhere in the country. And so I believed in the DMV and I believe that George Mason on the women's side is indeed a sleeping giant. But I also knew that once this NIL space opened up, that what we would see is for me and my staff is that we can redefine what's possible at a mid-major level. because we don't have football. And what's great about the A-10 conference is a lot of schools don't have football. So you know what? We don't have to have that cap where we've got to play all these football players first in line, then men's basketball, then women's basketball. It's just men's and women's basketball. And right. And I just think that for Mason, it's a special place. We have a president who loves basketball, who loves sports. Our AD is a former Georgia Tech, great from back in the day, but also from Maryland, who understands the landscape that we're in and wants to put us in the best situation possible. I think they do anything to keep me here. Absolutely. And I just think it's a great place for my family. As you know, my husband, well, going back to the NBA now, we got 3 airports, so he can fly out anytime he wants to from wherever he wants to. But besides that, I think this also is home for me. It's been home for me. And going into the gyms in and around the DMV, they're like, hey, Vanessa, how's your dad? How's your sister? Like, we're a family that grew up and our roots are here. And we've put down a good footprint here.
I love that answer. I think I can feel it in you and hear it in your voice. I know it's the right place for you. But you are going to keep, it's not going to be the first time that somebody's going to try to, take you. You're going to have those options. And those are good things to think about. And it really does help redefine and scope what you want to do and how you want to do it. All right. So you mentioned Eric, your husband. I do run into Eric quite a bit in the ACC on the men's side. And when I do run into him, I always ask about you. How much conversation do you guys talk about officiating when you're at home? He's a big time official, as you mentioned, NBA, and he also works in the college space as well.
Yeah. He has a separate room at home. So when the conversations don't go my way, that's where he sleeps. He is a referee first. He is a husband second, because he is going to take up, but not only that, part of that is joking, just a small part, but we get a chance to really communicate. And before I want to write that letter or make that call to, he's like, Vanessa, hey, look at it from this angle. And obviously we don't have all of those angles while we're in the game, but that 24-hour cooling off period, and getting a chance to talk to somebody who does this at a really, really high rate really helps. And it helps our staff. It helps our players. Sometimes he's around and he's like, hey, Zah, look at this. If you would have lifted your foot or not putting it here. And so it just gives a great perspective. And, I think the best thing is that we travel a lot. And so, every time we do see each other, it's like a honeymoon because we don't see each other that much. But, I respect what he does and what he's poured into his craft of over 20 years, and he does the same for me. So we meet each other, and we try to help each other get better.
Well, I understand that dynamic. I'm the same way. I'm on the move all the time, and I get what you're saying. I always say Frank and I have been married 33 years, but I've only been there 20 of them. That's why it's lasted. You mentioned Z. Well, no, I want to talk about her because she's one of 19 players right now that are averaging over 20 points a game in D1. So she's a heck of a scorer. She's a creative scorer. I know in my conversations with her at A10 Media Day and other times that we visited with her, she's a high IQ kid with a high motor. Tell us what it's like to coach her and what she can do to help your program.
She is hands down one of the best kids I've ever coached. And I think a lot of coaches say that, right? But I'm surprised that you got a chance to have a conversation with her at Media Day. She doesn't talk. She's like, we just call her a quiet assassin. Like, whatever you ask her to do, whatever she has to do, she's yes, ma'am, no, sir. She goes and gets the job done. I think the thing about her game that has been really kind of a lost art is she is so patient. She takes her time. She's not going to do anything in a rush. She's going to read you. She's going to pump fake if she has to pump fake twice. And then she's going to go. But she's always trying to, we talk about redefining things. She's always trying to redefine her game. Like, what can I add to my bag? And every single year from the time she got here till now, she's added something new to her bag. But not only for her to be better, she adds defensively. She studies film. She wants to know who we're playing. Coach, who am I going to be guarding? I want to start watching now. And she watches women's basketball, which, you think like, oh, they do. Most kids don't. Like, if you ask them to give you five, NBA, WNBA players starting five, a lot of them say, oh, I watch men's basketball. I'm like, why? Why don't you watch women's basketball? Yeah. But she watches it. You know, she'll get out of a game for us, and she's online, and she's watching who's playing now.
I love it. I love that, because that's what fans want to know, the behind the scenes. Like, it's not easy to do what she does. She's on top of the scouting report. She gets the best defender every night, and you got to constantly figure out ways that you can make the game easier for your teammates while still dropping 20, because you need her offense, right? That's a phenomenal kid. I'm glad I got a chance to get to know her a little bit. We're not going to let you go, Vanessa, without having this conversation, because you crossed a milestone in the last game. 400 wins. That is an incredible number. When you think about that, A, how did you celebrate? And B, what do you reflect upon when you think about 400 W's?
You know what, Debbie, I'll be honest. I didn't even know that was coming up. I really didn't. The game was over. I went in the locker room, and Kennedy was like, congratulations, coach. And, you know, you saw the little celebration online.
Yeah.
And it really didn't hit me. The ride home on the bus, the text from so many of my former players and former staff, I think that's when it hits you, because I was never in the game for the wins. I was in the game to help transform young people's lives. And now these young people's lives are in the workforce. They are the leaders. They're the next, you know, politicians or whatever. And I'm hearing back from them, and I was like, give me one thing that I did right, you know. And you hear, coach, you made me believe in myself. You helped me in the tough situation. Like, that's the pride that I feel in these 400 wins. And it wasn't just the wins on the court. I feel like those 400 wins were in the 400 lives that I was able to touch, or more, right? And I think for me, that's why I've been in this game so long. It's just to help mold and shape and transform this next generation of leaders, not just women, of leaders. We are coaching leaders. And that's what I'm in the business to do. And how did I celebrate? I came home. My two sons, who, you know, are 7 and 11, had a wonderful Christmas. They got a dog this Christmas. So yeah. I got a dog this Christmas, right?
Yeah, you got the dog.
Yeah. And they were like, Mom, I hope it snows tomorrow. I'm like, why? Because we don't want to go back to school. What are we going to do tomorrow if it snows? I'm like, oh, if I have to pull out a blow dryer all over Oakton, you're going back to school, because the cruise director is done right now. So how did I celebrate it? I was excited the boys were going back to school. I packed their lunches and I got into bed early, and then Eric came in and we talked basketball. So
I love that. I have a neighbor that used to fly the American flag so high. Just so happy that the day school was coming back and her kids were leaving, and she celebrated. I've never seen a parent push their kids out the door faster than after Christmas break. I just love that. Vanessa, what you said and how you said it and how you feel about your responsibility in the game is going to carry not just you a long ways, but you're a wonderful spokesperson for what really college athletics is supposed to mean. So thank you for that. And when next time I see you, you, me, and your cousin, Christy Winter Scott, are going out on Christy's credit card, and we're going to celebrate 400 W's.
Absolutely. Yes, we are definitely going to do that. Debbie, thank you for all that you continue to do for our game as well. I always enjoy your voice is synonymous always with a giant of our game. And I can be anywhere in my room and I hear your voice and I'm like, I'm watching that game. Oh, you know, because of what you pour into us, what you pour back into these young women as well, it doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you. And thank you for always having me on your show and always having a kind word. I appreciate it.
Hey, we got a lot of work to do, right? We just got to keep moving forward, keep moving the needle. Vanessa Blair Lewis, it's always a pleasure. 3-0 in conference play at the taping of our podcast, Nothing But Net. And you got a fan in all of us at Nothing But Net. We're always pulling for you and for the A-10 to have a great showing. The league has been fantastic. It will continue to be great. Vanessa Blair Lewis, thank you very much, and have the best 2026 possible.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.